I want to share a message with you from the Word of God that I believe has significance. I mentioned it last Sunday. Today, in our world, many people are fearful about what is going on in the world today. There seem to be swimming upstream everything that comes up in this world. And their swimming upstream is the title of the message, and it's also the call. When I was a young man, I lived in a place called Greenwood, South Carolina, and there was a lake. It was Lake Greenwood. I took a group of kids down to the lake, and we were swimming, and someone yelled out, "There goes my beach ball." You could tell that beach ball was moving pretty fast and was apparently getting caught in the current. And so I go ahead, and back then I was Mr. Muscle Man, and I thought I could outswim the balls going in the current and outswim the current. I was swimming against the current to get to it before it was swept out into the middle of the lake. And as I kept swimming, I started getting tired. I finally got to the beach ball, and I put my arm around it. When I did, it squirted out. And I mean, it squirted out like, and it went out about 20 feet. And I tried to get to it a second time, and when I did, I was completely exhausted. I started coming back, and by that time, I had been swept downstream a bit, and I had to come back upstream again, fighting the current, trying to get back to the beach. When someone on the beach says, "Stop swimming against the current, go with the current, you'll be okay." So I turned around and I just relaxed and started swimming with the current. And sure enough, I came down a good ways down from the beach, but I was able to come on the land, walk across and through the woods, and get to the beach. I believe that today we're caught in a stream headed away from the shores of God, the shore of Christ. We see our culture getting deeper and deeper in sin and destruction. Our courts and government have become corrupt beyond understanding. Just to say where we are seems to be like we're fighting just to stay where we are. Just, we come to church and the minister or whoever talks about growing in Christ. But we know we need to be growing in Christ. But we're fighting the stream, and the stream we're fighting just to stay where we are seems to be overwhelming to us. What do we do? Look at the scriptures, if you would, in John chapter 17, verse 9 through 19. It says, John 17, 9 through 19. Jesus prayed. And I love to look at Jesus' prayers, because Jesus' prayers teach us a lot. He's praying to the Father. Jesus said this, "I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those who have given you've given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture will be fulfilled. I am coming to you now. But as I see these things, while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, however, and I want you to notice that. I'm not praying for you to take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is true. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, and they too may be truly sanctified. The culture is like the sea we swim in. We as Christians sometimes are fearful of the culture that we're in, the sea that we swim in. Sometimes we are battle against what's going on. Sometimes we feel hopeless in the midst of the currents and the streams that we swim in. But I want you to know that this culture is no surprise to Jesus. And this culture today that we live in, God deliberately put you and me into. He didn't take us out of this culture. He put us into it. God has chosen you to swim in this culture. That's what I feel God has instructed me to lead us all into a study on. We swim in an ocean that seems foreign to us. And I understand that you feel uncomfortable in this particular place you live in. Yet we are called to go into this culture for two reasons. Number one, to transform that culture, to transform that seamless woman. Number two, to call some out of that culture to walk with Jesus in the midst of that culture. This culture does not use large waves to sweep us away from the safe shore of God's truth or anybody else. What it does is it uses undercurrents that slowly edges away. The culture is not a structure or its activities. But listen, I picked this up at the conference I went to 2 weeks ago. The culture is not a structure or its activities. It's assumptions. What it assumes is true. Each year, I take a big break to the coast. And part of our coastal trip, we're going to May again this year, part of our coastal trip is we go down to the beach and I let them swim. And that's an adventure. You take a bunch of 8-footers and then jump in the ocean. Because we usually get there about 4 o'clock, we swim into 6. Well, you know what the feeding time is for the sharks? 4 to 6. Okay. So, haven't lost one yet. But when I go also, there are times when the currents in the ocean are very treacherous. They're undercurrents, undertow, as they call them. And so I go and I sit at the edge of the water like this for 2 hours and watch them swim. I count heads, I count noses. I want to make sure we have all that we brought to go home with us. And I do this because I do know that there are undercurrents and kids can be swept away. I don't think we recognize as Christians that we live in a culture of undercurrents that slowly but surely drag us away in our thinking. Our presumptions. Many Christians are like these people. They slowly are swept away into assumed truths of the culture, and they become skewed and foreign to the Christian life. And thus, they feel almost out of water when they go to church. They feel more out of water when they go to church than when they're at a party on Saturday night. I went to the state fair and enjoyed it while I was there. People, you know, it seemed like everybody enjoyed that I was there and enjoyed the state fair. But it's interesting how certain places people don't enjoy it. You have to go to different places in a while, and it's uncomfortable for them because they have assumptions. One of the assumptions is big, and I know this is a fact, because I've already done a bit of study, is the President of the Baptist Church changed their name to President Unity Church, and the reason they did was because of the assumptions in our society. The Baptists are evil. And that's a large portion, as a matter of fact, 70%. Of all your people today, the Baptists have significant problems. And so I want you to know that there are certain assumptions that are in our culture that sweep us away, our children away. But we are called to go into the world. There are several reactions we could have. We could fear the water of the culture or try to make them. Does anybody in here hate the ocean? Anybody? Okay. Wow. Something is interesting. You can have two or three children who take them to the beach, and sit them down at the beach, and once, sand, it's down to the bed. And then put them in the water, I come out sticky, and ooey, gooey, and I get sand in my fingers, and I walk out and go, eee. Then we got another kid, they just run and jump in the water and they play it. And they make the old sand castles and they have sand from getting the foot and they don't get it. I even had a daughter leave and said, she dropped the cupcake right down into the sand and picked it up and ate the cupcake. But there are those who do not want to go into the water. So they pull back from the water. They said, we won't go in the water. We just won't go in the ocean. We're not going to go in there. There's sharks in there. There's an undertow. It'll sweep us away. I will not go in the ocean. You know there are Christians that way. I'm not going into the culture. We're not going places. We're going to not go places. We're going to hide in our houses. And we're not going out. And you are not children. You are not going to be exposed. They send them to the public school. They're getting a lot of exposure there at school. But I want you to know that that's not what Christ has called us to. He's not called us to hibernate or hide from the culture. Quite the contrary. He sends us into the culture. If you read our scripture again, it says, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. There is something about that word sanctified that's the key for Christ sending them into the world. And here's the point. You can send people into the world, but don't send them unless they're sanctified. Okay? If you have children, don't send them into the world until they're sanctified. But when they're sanctified, I promise you, God will protect them. The sanctification is the key. And the continuous sanctification is the key. I don't know how many of you have ever been to a mall and you didn't know anything about that mall. So you walk up to the mall map. You see that big old thing? A, all the A's are apparel stores. B is specialty stores. C, and you got to look along where you want to go. And you say, well, I want to get some blue jeans. So you look at all the stores, and then there are men's stores. And so you're able to locate a men's store, and then you go to the men's store. How many of you just take off and go to the men's store if you don't know anything about it at all? What are you looking for first? A little icon that's on the map that says, you are here. I can't go first. find that store unless I know where I am. The word, it says, my word was given to them that they might be sanctified. Listen to me. The word of God is the sanctifying power for us when we swim in the sea to keep us in the right place to let us know where we are and where we need to go. And that's called sanctification. By the way, the word sanctification means holy, made holy. So what is holy? There's a misconception today that holy means perfect. When people say, you know, I'm trying to be holy, I'm asking God to make me holy, or I'm trying to follow God to be holy. What is holy? People say, that means you're trying to be perfect. No. Look it up, the word. You got a cell phone. Look it up. It means called out for a purpose. That's what holy means. So, as you read the scripture, it basically is telling us that we are called out for a purpose, to be sanctified, that we might know our purpose and we might follow our purpose. There was a young man at the state fair as we were going in and out. And the only reason I keep talking about the state fair about Gilda's, for those who haven't been in a while, walking 5 hours, we had to sit down with you. I didn't know if we would get back to the car. But on the way there, into the gate, there was a man standing out front of the megaphone, and he was saying, preach to everybody. The word of God is the living testimony of God. It will tell you where you are, it will tell you where you need to go, it will tell you what's false and what is true. He had to preach on the way. Yes, that's it. As we went on into the fair, we were there 5 hours, we came back out, and he was still preaching 5 hours later. Some of us would get tired of preached for 5 hours. Anyway, he was still preaching the same thing. The word of God is the testimony of God. And the testimony of God is what helps us get to where we need to go, to know what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is evil. And we are being told and assumed some false narratives of what is true. I have never seen a society so consumed with Facebook and social media that they get their expert information from those places. Have you noticed? I look at Facebook because my family. And that's why I saw a good post. Bonnie had one this week, Friday. It was a good one. What? It's amazing to me is how many, I don't know what there is, people are assuming that you get your information on Facebook or social media. That's like turning, if I were to turn my class over to my students and say, what do you think y'all do? I'll make a break for outside, let's go play, let's have fun. And they do that all the time. The Bible is a map of who we are and where we should go. That's where we stay close to God. That process of finding what God wants us to do, to be, is called His holiness. Our scripture says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is true. How am I going to be sanctified or made holy by the word of God? So what happens to Christians who don't read the word of God? They are misled by the assumptions of culture. The Bible teaches us much. most important, it is sanctifying us. God's word is intended to sanctify us. I want you to say, God's word, is intended to sanctify us.
Sanctify us.
That's what it is intended. It's not a book of moral nuggets where I just take them every once in a while to make me feel better. Or I take them like their vitamins that help me get stronger. The Word of God is the sanctifying tool of the living God to make me holy, which is to put me in the life blood and the life stream of God to where He wants me to go, what He wants me to do. Sanctification is the process of making holy, fully alive to God by being totally what God created me to be in the right. Not 10 years from now, not 20 years from now, right now. And there's some in here that might this morning, you might be saying, well, one day I'm going to get there. No, it's now. It's now. If you're hearing this message, God is saying, I want you now to step into my holiness. I want you to become holy now, not later. Now. That's why I've got you here this morning. I want you to become holy now. Right now. This is the hour. Well, after we have children. No, now. Well, after I get a new job. No, now. After I walk. No, now. Is the hour for you to become holy. Now is the time for you to become fully alive to God. There are three truths, and I'm going to close with these three truths. And if you stand in these three truths, which are the sanctifying power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, here are the three truths we get from the Word of God that can never be led us away. They are not the assumptions of the world. They are the truth of God. Number one, Jesus Christ is risen. Despair is sin. Say that again. Despair is sin. Fear is faltering faith. Christ is risen, and we are protected and guaranteed His great grace in all situations. His victory over sin and death is better than accident forgiveness of all state. You see the boy walk into his mother's room and say, I just called our agent, Allstate agent, and he said, we have accident forgiveness. And his mother says, 6 months with her, 6 weeks without a car. He goes, right. Knowing that Jesus Christ is risen knows that God is fully capable of doing whatever you need done, to make you whatever you need. The second one is Christ is Lord. He is sovereign. His rule over all things on earth is done. When we read our scripture this morning, it says, none have been lost. Jesus was saying to the Father, none have been lost. He's not going to lose you. He is Lord. He is sovereign, which is number two. And I have another thing too. You remember Lot's wife when they left the city? They were running away and they were told not to look back. You remember that? What did she do? Lot didn't look back, his wife looked back. But what's wrong with looking back? She didn't just look back, she looked back with longing desire. Go back. And that long desire to go back turned her into a pillar of salt. God is saying this, I am sovereign over all of your situations. Don't look back. Don't look back to the 50s, 60s, or 70s when you were young, or 80s when you were young, and say, oh, I just wish I was back then. Let me tell you something. Every last one wishing to take what we know right now and go back to when we were going to start all over again, because we make some stupid mistakes, all of us do. And if you haven't yet, you will get there. But we're not even to look back at our mistakes. We are to look ahead. God is sovereign. From this point on, He's in charge. He has a plan for your life. Do not look back. Do not look out. Do not look ahead. Look right now where He's leading you and walk fully in His love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Holy Spirit becomes yours as you stand in the Lord. And the last and the third one is, Christ created us and called us to greatness for His kingdom. Now, I threw in another one in the scripture here. It's not, I don't think it's up there. But I found this, and I just want to share this with you. It comes from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Says, and we know that in all things God works for good for those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to His likeness to His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. Coming back to what did our scripture say this morning? It said, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. And verse 10 says, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain the world no longer. And glory has come to me through them. And glory has come to me through them. Where does Jesus get His glory? Through you? God's greatest glory is created. God's greatest glory is watching you fall in line with Him. God's greatest glory is when you commit your heart and life to Jesus. God's greatest glory is blessing you and bringing you into His presence. God's greatest glory is just bringing you up and drawing you into His presence. God is not going to let you be swept away in the oceans of this world. He wants to make you great and glorious, because you are His glory. Some of us here this morning, you're saying, oh, if I'm the glory of God, He really doesn't have much glory. I've been there, I understand. Because there are moments in your life when you feel like, I'm not that much in glory. Yes, I'm not that much in glory. Oh, but you are His choices. Creation and recreation in first times. So that's what I ask you. Are you being sanctified by the Word of the living God and the testimony of Christ Jesus daily? Now, I want to say this. Unless you're reading the Word of God daily, then you are not being sanctified. It's real simple. You are becoming somebody. People would say, well, Pastor, you don't know how busy I am. Would somebody like to come and live with me? I am so busy that I don't see myself coming and going. My wife got in the car last night. We finally got to supper late this night. I don't know how late it was because I hardly got home. And she said, this car is messy. Yeah. Because I live in it. And I need to clean it So I think it's a little better at this point. But I want you to know that you can find time to do what you find necessary to do. The doctor was told to tell you today, you will die tomorrow unless you start walking today. You must probably walk. If the doctor says, take these pills or you're going to die tomorrow, you will take those pills. I am saying, if you don't become sanctified, if you don't begin to read the Word of the Living God, if you are reading more intensely, if you are reading more intensely, and I promise you, you will not be swept away. But if you do not, you will be swept away. But the assumptions of the world are untrue. You want to open the doors of the church. I stand here at the front, and when I stand here at the front, my purpose is to give you an opportunity of making a decision for Christ. The decision for Christ means you submit yourself to Christ as your Lord and Savior. You put your faith and trust in Him. That's the beginning. For others that might come and say, I want to be sanctified. I need to be sanctified. I want you to pray that I might be sanctified. I'll pray with you, and we'll pray about your sanctification. In essence, God's making you holy. And if there's someone that needs prayer or needs to be a part of the fellowship of this church or so many decisions you might make, or you just want to come and deal at the front and pray God's grace over a situation in your life or what God's doing, I want to just give you that opportunity. As we sing, that's the opportunity, the invitation.